Lucky I chuck short of many times, says my she got away to my heart. So a little philosophy first, and then we'll tell some stories, all right? So Srimati Radharani, of course, is the original potency of Krishna. Krishna has many potencies. Parashiv Shaktivaiva Srimateshva Bhavaki Jnana Balakriya Cha. Many, many different potencies. But the first potency from which all other energies expand is Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is devoted 100% to pleasing Krishna. And so from Radharani, you have the Lakshmis expand, you understand? And then ultimately, even from the Lakshmis, then you have the Durga expand and all of Krishna's energies. So that's Radharani's position. So tonight we're going to speak more about the philosophy regarding Radharani. But now, because there's so many nice children here, we're going to tell some stories. Okay. So this is a story about some of the Vrindavan pastimes of Srimati Radharani. Of course, we understand in Vrindavan that apparently Srimati Radharani is not married to Krishna. And the reason for that, actually there was supposed to be a marriage between Radha and Krishna, but Purnamashi stopped it. Why would she stop it? She stopped it so that there would be more interesting pastimes taking place. Because then it was arranged that there was a pretend marriage between Radharani and someone called Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu, not the same Abhimanyu in the Mahabharata that you read about, who was Subhadra's son, but the Abhimanyu who is an expansion of Krishna, who so-called acts as the husband of Srimati Radharani. So, I know Kana loves you, but maybe it's a little too much. So anyway, so therefore, by Krishna not being married to Radharani and Radharani being so-called married to someone else, you have so many interesting pastimes that take place, and there's a full development. There's a full development of not only the direct rasas. What are the direct rasas, Keshav? Shantaras? You ever heard of these things before? What? Chantaras? What is the next one?
I don't know the order.
Dasharas? No, after that comes Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, and Madhuryaras. So you have these five direct rasas, and you have seven indirect rasas, like anger, compassion, ghastliness. And these seven indirect rasas are like spices that spice up a particular vegetable. You understand? Just like if you have a vegetable, it has a rasa. Rasa means taste. For example, let's take, bitter melon. What's the rasa of bitter melon?
Bitterness.
Bitterness. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. It's bitter. So, but you usually don't take bitter melon by itself, do you? What do you put on it? Any of you cooks know?
Lemon.
You put lemon? So that's a sour. You put some salt.
Masala?
Spices.
You put garam masala sometimes, the hot spices on it. And sometimes you even fry it, right?
Yeah.
And it becomes like a little crispy.
Yeah.
You fry it in ghee. So you take the original taste and then you bring out more tastes using spices. So in the same way, the original taste of, let's say, the Madhurya Rasa, or the conjugal rasa with Krishna and Radharani, is brought out through all these different seven indirect rasas. You understand? And that makes it more tasty and enjoyable and interesting. So Krishna enjoys all this. So just like, you know, you have Radharani getting angry with Krishna. You know that story I've told many times, that Radharani and her gopis came back after this whole tax pastime and brought their sticks and they overpowered the coward boys and they, hit them with the sticks. Or there's another instance where Radharani and the gopis discover the coward boys taking the milk products, especially the butter. And the only cowboy he couldn't escape was who?
Madumongo.
Huh? Madumongo, because he was too fat to fit out through the window. And so the gopis, his rear end was sticking inside, and so the gopis had to hit the rear end with a stick, spanking, you know. And so then Krishna said, you've committed a great offense against a Brahmin, and you're all going to go to hell. The only way to rectify it is do what he says, and what did he ask for? Ladus. And after about 1,000 ladus, he started giving them blessings. So anyway, so you have all these different things like anger and, you know, suspicion and ghastliness, you know, and fear, and compassion, all these things spice the direct rasa. So this is what makes Radha and Krishna's pastime so interesting. I mean, just like if you have any relationship in this world, it's not the two friends or husband and wife, they just sit there and be husband and wife all day long. There's other things that happen within that relationship. So, anyway, so I'm going to tell some stories to entertain you all and also to help us remember Srimati Radharani on this appearance day of Srimati Radharani. So, once upon a time, Narada Muni was visiting Radharani regularly because he wanted to get her mercy. Because if you get Radharani's mercy, just like the residents of Vrindavan, what are they doing? They're chanting what? You don't know, Keshav? Radhe, Radhe. You didn't hear that when you were in Vrindavan?
He did.
Oh my God. Radhe, Radhe. So they're chanting Radharani's name. So as they're chanting Radharani's name, Narada Muni also wanted to get Radharani's mercy. But Krishna, when he heard about Narada Muni visiting Radharani, he said, not a good idea. Don't talk to Narada Muni, because he's going to create problems for you. All right. So then what happened is that Radharani didn't take Krishna so seriously. He said, no, it's just Narada Muni. He's a great personality. He's a great sage, a pure devotee of the Lord. And Krishna said, all right, you will see what happens at this particular point. So then Narada went to please Krishna, and he was playing on the veena, chanting what? Radhika Ramana. Namane, that's what Narada Muni chants. And Krishna was waiting for Radharani. And Narada Muni came and said to Krishna, oh, please give me a blessing or a benediction right now. And he said, I want to see you swinging on this swing with Lalita Devi. So Lalita did not want to do this because the other gopis, they're interested simply in pushing Radharani to be with Krishna. They're not interested in their own enjoyment. This is the opposite of envy in this world. Like if you have, let's say if you have one person with two or three girlfriends, you know, anyway, don't want to talk about that. They tend to be envious of each other, competitive. But the gopis, at least Lalita, Vishaka, the Ashtashakis, what's Ashtashaki mean? What does Shaki mean? Friends, yeah. So the eight friends of Srimati Radharani, they're always trying to please Radharani. So eventually, Krishna forced Lalita to sit on the swing with him. And Lalita and Krishna were swinging. And Narada Muni then went to Radharani and said, guess what's happening right now? In your absence, Krishna is swinging with that Lalita Devi. So Radharani got extremely angry and disappeared. Because she said, I don't want anything more to do with that Krishna, because he's not faithful to me. And Narada Muni also disappeared, because he didn't want to get blamed for anything. And then Krishna kept looking for Radharani, and he was crying. Finally he found her, and Krishna explained, don't trust Narada Muni in the future. He's always creating these problems. So then they swung together after that particular point. It's a nice story, isn't it?
Why did Narada Muni do that?
Well, he likes to see that sort of angry, like the man. That's one of the indirect rasas, is the man. Man means the anger. There's even a place in Vrindavan called Manasarovara. You've been there? That's like a lake, or it's next to the lake. where Krishna bows down and touches Radharani's feet. In fact, there was one great devotee. His name was Jayadev Goswami, the one who's the author of the Nrisingadev prayers, you know, Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa, Keshavadrita Shukara Rupa, the Dashavatara prayers. That he was one day, it's an interesting story, Keshav, you can hear it. One day, he was writing this book called the Gita Govinda, and then the idea came to him that he should write that Krishna bows down and touches Radharani's feet. And he thought, this is crazy. Krishna is God. He can't bow down and touch Radharani's feet. So then he went and said, let me take a bath and cool my head off. So he went to take his bath. And in the meantime, guess who came to his house?
Krishna.
Krishna. And Krishna sat down and completed that particular verse. And then Krishna sat down and took prasadam in his house. You know, Jayadeva Goswami's wife, her name was Padmavati. So he took prasadam at the house, and then Krishna went away. But Krishna looked like Jayadeva Goswami, took on the guise, you know, disguise or guise or external appearance. So Padmavati thought, yeah, Jayadeva Goswami is eaten. So no problem. So then Jayadeva Goswami comes back and he says to his wife, where is prasad? And she says, what are you talking about? You already ate. And she says, no. He says, no, I'm hungry.
Uh-oh.
And she says, look, you finished that portion of your writing. And he went down to the desk and he saw Krishna bows down and touches Radharani's feet. And in this place called Manasarovara, there's actually pictures of Krishna bowing down and touching Radharani's feet. It's a very special place. Even the trees bow down there. Called Manasarovara. So anyway, so Narada Muni, he wanted to see that. He wanted to see Krishna apologize. Can you imagine God apologizing? I mean, it's hard enough to get Keshav to apologize if he does something wrong, right? You have to but imagine God apologizing because he actually wants to enjoy that anger of Srimati Radharani. Okay, so here's another interesting story where Krishna proves that Radharani is better than him. Krishna proves this. Okay. Krishna told Radharani once upon a time that people should worship you first. He said, if they worship me, there's no result. So they should worship you. So you are greater than Mother Yashoda, he said to Srimati Radharani. Radharani started laughing. He said, you know, I don't believe this. You know, tell me about this. You know, prove it. Krishna said, very soon, I will prove it, and Yashoda will grab your feet and take shelter at your lotus feet. So what happened? As later on, all the gopis were making Krishna dance in a courtyard. And when Yashoda saw this, she became very angry because she said, you're exhausting Krishna. The gopis then said that your son is at your house. This is another Krishna. Go to your house to see your Krishna. So Yashoda Mayi went back home and she saw Krishna sleeping on his bed. And then she said to the gopis, we'll bring both Krishnas together and they'll dance together. Because actually they're two Krishnas. And Radharani asked, how are you going to tell them apart? Because your Krishna is a coward boy, our Krishna is God. It's a very interesting story. And Yashoda said, my son performed all these activities. And Radharani said, don't worry, we can discuss this later. So Radharani put sandalwood pulp on the forehead of her Krishna. And so the two Krishnas danced. And what happened is the Yashoda's Krishna merged with Radharani's Krishna. And Yashoda Mayi could not find her Krishna. She was very upset. And she was crying. And then she caught Radharani's feet. And Yashoda fainted. Then Radharani woke her up by saying that her Krishna is in the bedroom sleeping. So in other words, Krishna wanted Yashodamayi to touch Radharani's feet. Very, very interesting story. So then there's the famous story about Radharani is getting a benediction that whatever she cooked would be not only sweeter than nectar, but act like nectar and enable the person to be free from disease. Because we know in the kitchen, the temple kitchen, who is the cook? Radharani. It's Radharani's kitchen. So that's why the devotee should keep the kitchen very, very clean. So once upon a time, Radharani was in the palace of Vrishabhanu. Who's Vrishabhanu?
His father.
The father. And she was playing with the little Krishna deity. This is the one she was a little kid. And Durvasa Muni arrived, and Radha remained. And her friends ran away because they were afraid of Durvasa Muni. Why were they afraid of Durvasa Muni? Because Durvasa Muni has a bad temper. If you offend him, he gets very, very angry. So anyway, so Durvasa Muni said to Srimati Radharani, you should feed me sweet rice with your own hands. So she's a little girl. And so this little girl started to feed Durvasa Muni sweet rice with her hands. And then Durvasa Muni gave her a benediction. She said, whatever your hands touch, whatever you prepare, will always taste like nectar. And anyone who tastes this food will have long life, strength, beauty, and the fame will increase day by day. When Yashoda heard this, then she made a special request to Kirtita and Jatila and Kutila to bring Radharani to her house to cook every day. So every day, Srimati Radharani was going over to Nandagram to cook for Krishna. So this is a special arrangement. Mm. So then we have the story about Narada Muni's first darshan Radharani. So this is Narada Muni one time reached Goloka Vrindavan, and then he went to Goloka Vrindavan and he said, what's wrong here? Because everything was pale there. And they said, well, Radharani has gone to the material world to be with Krishna. So then he went to Boma Vrindavan. What's Boma Vrindavan? What does Boma mean? Just like you have the demon Bomasura, what does it mean? It's from Bhumi. Boma means the earth Vrindavan, earthly Vrindavan. If you say Boma Vrindavan, it means earthly Vrindavan. So Narada Muni went there, and he saw Krishna as a baby in his bed. So Krishna was in his bed. And then Narada visited every house, and finally he came to Vrishabhanu's house, and he saw Sridham there, who was the brother of Srimati Radharani, and he blessed Sridham to become a friend of Krishna. Because Sridham is one of Krishna's greatest friends. Then he was told about Sridham's younger sister, that was Srimati Radharani, who was born blind, deaf, and dumb. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Generally it's considered very inauspicious for a child to be born blind, deaf, and dumb. What does that mean, blind, deaf, and dumb?
So you can't see, you can't hear, you can't talk.
And you can't speak. I mean, that's very inauspicious, isn't it? It's usually due to bad karma. You have to go? All right. So, anyway, so Radharani was born that way. The reason she was born that way is because when Krishna asked her to come to the material world, she said, I am not going. And then Krishna said, well, you have to go, but let's make an arrangement. You won't see or hear or speak anything until you see me. Pretty nice, isn't it? Because she didn't want to see any of us rascals in the material world. So anyway, so Narada put Muni her on his lap, and he was in ecstasy, and he started to praise her, and he started to feel more and more love for Krishna, because that's what happens when you take shelter of Srimati Radharani or her servant. You feel more and more love for Krishna. And then, what did she do? She manifested her 14-year-old form right in front of Narada Muni. In other words, he had this little baby on his lap, and all of a sudden she appeared in her what's called the Kishori form in front of Narada Muni with all of her sakis, all of her friends. And Narada Muni was stunned, and he went unconscious, and then the Sakis, that's Radharani's friends, sprinkled water from Radharani's feet to revive him. Then, all the other gopis disappeared, and Radharani and assumed the baby form, and she informed Narada Muni that you will see me again like this in the future. And Vrishabhanu saw Narada Muni offering prayers, and he asked Narada Muni, "What are you doing?" And Narada Muni didn't say anything, and he went away. That's nice, isn't it? Another story is that after Radharani's birth, Purnamasi, who was Yogamaya, and Purnamasi is the mother of Sandapani Muni, and Sandapani Muni's son is who? Madhumango. So Purnamasi came to see Srimati Radharani, and she looked, and her eyes were closed, and she was, of course, deaf and dumb, and everyone was in distress to see her in this particular way. But then Nanda and Yashoda came with little baby Krishna. Krishna climbed down from Yashoda's lap and enters Radharani's room, climbed on her bed and touched her eyes, and immediately she opened her eyes and she could see and speak and hear. That's a nice story. So, not many people, everyone else ran away. Okay. Another story. Oh, there's the boat pastime on Manasi Ganga that I've told before. It's from the Gopal Champu. Once upon a time, the gopis had all their milk products and they wanted to cross the Manasi Ganga. The Manasi Ganga was created from the mind of Krishna, because Krishna had killed the Vatsasura demon. And the other coward boy said, "You have to go to the Ganges to purify yourself." Krishna said, "I'm not going to the Ganges." He created the Ganges out of his mind. So, once upon a time, at this Manasi Ganga, the gopis wanted to cross, and it was a big lake at that particular time, and they had all their milk products on their heads, like the ladies carry the milk products on their heads, right? So they wanted to cross. And there was no boat to cross the river. And they looked around here and there, and finally, they found this old man that, you know, he was just like practically crippled. And he was covered with a cloth, and he had a boat. You know, the boat looked really old, but they thought, "We got to get across this river." So they said, "My dear old man, can you take us across the river?" And he said, "Yes, I can take you across the river." And they got in the boat, and the old man, after a few strokes in the oars, he said, "Oh, I'm so tired. Please, Hare Krishna, please give me some of your milk products so I get some energy." So this old man started to eat all the milk products of the gopis. And finally, he belched. What's a belch? A burped. And he said, "All right, now I've eaten all these milk products. I'm too tired now to keep rowing." So he said to the gopis, "You have to massage my body." And the gopi said, "This is ridiculous. We are chaste girls. The only way we'll touch your hands and legs is to throw you into the Manasi Ganga." So he said, all right, I'll row. And then the boat developed a leak. You know what a leak is in the boat? The water started coming in. And the boatman said, "This boat is too heavy. So you have to throw all your milk products away," whatever was left. So they threw it all into the Manasi Ganga, and Krishna said, the boatman said, "Now it's still too heavy, you got to throw all your clothes and jewelry in." And then they said, "We'll throw you in, keep rowing, you stupid boatman." So he kept rowing. Finally there was a storm, and everything was shaking, and the boat was going down. And Radharani, she looked at the boatman, and what did she see in his belt? His flute. She said, "This is Krishna playing tricks again." And then so she grabbed him out of fear, and then they had their nice pastimes on the Manasi Ganga. And let's see, there's so many pastimes here. Here's an interesting thing. That Krishna proves Radharani's chastity. What's chastity? Does anyone know? Loyalty. That means Radharani is loyal to Krishna. So here's the story. Once upon a time, Radha was complaining to Krishna that my reputation is finished. Everybody is talking. Because, you know, like in Indian society, everybody talks rumors like that. So obviously, you know, if they see or think that Radha and Krishna are together, everybody's going to be making rumors about the thing. So that's what they were doing. It's too much. He said, I can't live with all these people talking badly about me. Krishna said, don't worry. I will prove your chastity. I will remove all questions about your chastity. The next morning, Krishna had a very high fever. At least he was pretending to have a high fever. And he couldn't get up. And the doctor came. And the doctor came. The doctor was actually an expansion of Krishna. So Krishna became his own doctor. And the doctor appeared. He said, there's only one medicine that will cure your disease. You have to drink this medicine. It's required. The most chaste lady brings Jamuna water in a pot with 1,000 holes in it across a bridge made with hair. Now, carrying water with 1,000 holes in the pot is not possible, right? Because all the water will come out. And crossing a bridge made with hair is impossible too. So everyone tried. And everyone kept doing it. So, you know, the doctor brought some hair from Krishna. The hair was from Krishna. So they made this bridge. And Jatila tried. And Jatila was, of course, Radharani's mother-in-law, Kutila. They both failed and they had to be rescued. They fell into the water. And the doctor said, I know that there is one chaste lady. He did some mantras and mudras and everything. He said, yes, there is Srimati Radharani. She is the one.
She's the most chaste.
She's the most chaste. So then Radharani meditated on Krishna, and Krishna's reflection appeared in the water, and he manifested 1,000 fingers to plug the holes. Pretty good, isn't it? And Lalita looked at the pot and said, this is amazing. And then Radharani was able to cross the river on the hair bridge, and Krishna was cured. So it was proven that Radharani was the most chaste person. It's a nice story. Okay, one more story. It's actually getting late. The breaking of Radharani's anger. Once, Krishna sent a message to Radharani to meet him at a place called Sanket, that means meeting place. But on the way, Krishna met Padma, who was the maidservant of Chandravali. Then, we'll finish pretty soon. Then he promised to meet with Chandravali, but by this time, Chandravali reached there and Krishna had his pastimes with Chandravali, who was Radharani's so-called competitor. Actually, Chandravali serves Radharani by being a competitor. You know, it brings out more of the interesting aspects of the love between Radha and Krishna. Anyway, so Krishna called Chandravali, who is Radharani's competitor, Pranapriya. What does Pranapriya mean?
Competitive for love?
No. Prana? What's Prana mean? Means my life air, or the life. Priya means what?
Love.
Dear. So, the life, the dear life of my breath, that's very romantic, isn't it? So he said that to Chandravali. But, unfortunately, guess what was there?
Radharani.
No. Radharani's parrot was there. And the parrot flew to Radharani and told her what had happened. And so the gopis got so angry, they went to Chandravali's husband's house and informed him about what his wife was doing. It's an interesting story. And the mother-in-law of Chandravali went to chastise her. Chandravali fainted, and Krishna said, don't worry. Krishna took the form of the goddess Kachiyani and Therefore, when Chandravali was seen with Katyayani rather than with Krishna, that Chandravali's mother praised her. You understand? So in other words, she was coming to try to catch Krishna with her daughter. But actually, Krishna appeared as Katyayani, the goddess Katyayani. So therefore, she thought, oh, she's worshipping Katyayani. So then Kairala, who was the mother-in-law of Chandravali, blessed her. And then Subal praised Krishna. He said, you're the best of magicians. This is amazing. This is amazing. And then Krishna went to Radharani, but Radharani turned her face away, and Lalita said, you are a cheater. Don't get closer. Get away. Get away. And then Krishna begged at Radharani's feet and said, save me. Radharani did not want to look at him, but Vishakha, being very expert, said, give up your anger. You know what he's like. So Radharani got angry at Vishakha, her other friend at that point, and said, what kind of friend are you? Then Vishakha went to Krishna and told him and advised him to meet Srimati Radharani in the form of Shama Saki, to take on a woman's form, holding Naveena. So Vishakha introduced them both, and Krishna played on Naveena, and Radharani embraced and kissed who she thought was another nice girl, and then her anger vanished, and they had very nice relationship. So these are some stories about Radha and Krishna. So, any questions about Srimati Radharani? Tonight we're going to speak more philosophy. About it. Yeah.
How is it that everyone in Vrindavan, even the gopis, are always trying to push Radharani closer to Krishna,
yes,
not themselves? So, how can anyone have a conjugal relationship with Krishna if everyone's trying to push Radharani to Krishna? She's the only one who could have a conjugal
relationship. No, there are others who have conjugal relationships. But what happens is sometimes Radharani, actually out of her mercy, she'll send one of her friends to Krishna to have that particular relationship. You understand? Because she's so merciful to her friends, so she wants some of her friends to associate with Krishna like that. Sometimes one of Radharani's servants will come to give some message to Krishna, and Krishna will force himself upon her. That happens too. So anyways, you have other instances. Plus, when you talk about conjugal ras, I mean those devotees in conjugal ras, it includes those who assist Radharani, like the Manjari gopis. The Manjari gopis, what is Manjari gopi? What's a Manjari? It's a little bud. That means a girl who's very young, like you. Like when you're very young, you're not interested in boys, right? You go, ooh, boys, yuck. And but when you get older, you get more interested. Or even boys when they're young, right? You think that girls, yeah. They're just people to tease. Right? He's nodding there. So Manjari gopis are very young girls. They're not interested in having any sort of intimate relationship with Krishna. Yet they're considered to be in the conjugal platform because they're serving the other gopis and serving Srimati Radharani and associating with Krishna. So when we talk about conjugal love, you're talking about all these assistants to Srimati Radharani. It's not that everybody in the conjugal ras, is actually directly associating with Krishna. In fact, the majority are not. The majority in conjugal ras are assisting Radha and Krishna. Although, you know, Lalita sometimes has a direct relationship with Krishna, like there was, we told the story about Lalita and Krishna on the swing, right? So that happens, but their preference is that Srimati Radharani will associate with Krishna. And Radharani, she's so kind to her associates, she wants them to associate with Krishna. So you have this interplay there of compassion and love. And none of it is mundane. None of it is based on bodily enjoyment. You know, we have this whole conception of the material world when we hear about loving affairs. We think, oh, that's just like some Bollywood movie I saw the other day. Or like my mother and father. But it's not like that. It's completely on the spiritual platform. When we talk about spiritual bodies, the spiritual bodies are made of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. We can't understand what that means to have a relationship between two living entities or completely immersed in their spiritual identity. Can we? I mean, it's completely outside of our experience. Just like when we eat, what happens when we eat? We enjoy the food, right? But when people eat in the spiritual world, guess what? They're having a relationship with the ladu. The ladu talks. You can say, hello,
hello.
Of course, they don't say hello, they say, and then when you eat the ladu, he's not destroyed and becomes some abominable substance. But the ladu actually remains. I mean, so you can't really understand. What does that mean? When you eat something, it's a person, it's talking to you, and you don't destroy it by eating.
What does happen to it?
You have to go there to figure it out. I mean, it's inconceivable. It's a chincha. So when you talk about Radha and Krishna conjugal loving affairs and that some of the symptoms are there, like kissing and other things like that, it's nothing like we experience in the material world. Because people do everything in the material world for their own satisfaction. I mean, why do you eat, Kesar? Maybe you don't eat. Because you're thinking, what is your favorite food?
Dal.
Dal is your favorite food. It's pretty austere, you know. Dal is your favorite food, so you like the taste of it, right?
Yes.
So in the spiritual world, you're not thinking like that. Oh, I'm enjoying my tongue rubbing over this dal. In the spiritual world, you're just thinking of glorifying Krishna, pleasing Krishna by eating the dal. Somehow or other. No. As far as how to explain that, it's impossible to explain that unless one's experienced it. It's like explaining what the sweet taste is to someone who has never taken sugar. Mm-hmm. How do you explain it?
It's sweet.
You keep telling them that they're...
You can tell, but they don't understand it. You know, you say...
Unless they taste it.
I mean, what is it? Or let's take some practical thing. Do you know what... Let's take skydiving. You know what skydiving is?
Yes.
Where someone jumps out of an airplane. I mean, I can describe what it's like, because I never did it, but anyway... I could describe what it's like, or you could hear some description, but you really don't understand until you've done it, right? Because yep. You have to do it to really realize it. So the spiritual world is something like that. You know, giving a mundane example, a metaphorical situation, that it's just inconceivable. I mean, what they experience is inconceivable. Pure love we've never experienced in this world. The desire to please someone so much that we're willing to go to hell. Do you ever have that pure love in this world, Keshav? Did you want to please your parents so much that you're willing to suffer? No. Because when you go to your parents, what is your objective? What is your primary objective? Yeah. Is that... Oh.
Daddy, you want...
Your primary objective in the... When you go to your parents, is to get what you want, right? Not what your parents want, right? If you go to your father, you don't say, Dad, Peter Shri, what would you like? He's never said that, probably, right?
Never ever.
You never, ever, ever said that?
Ever.
You're thinking, Dad, what would I like?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's the material world. In the spiritual world, we approach Krishna and think, what would Krishna like?
So it's like, you.
So in any relationship, whether it's a parental relationship, whether it's conjugal relationship, whether it's friendship, whether it's servitude, even in servitude, the servant is not serving the master because he wants... Keshav, you can listen. Because he wants to please the master, he's serving the master because he wants to get a salary, right? Isn't it true? I mean, just like your father's going to work, right? He gets a salary, right? What if he didn't get a salary?
No money.
Yeah, but besides that,
What did you use the money for?
To buy things?
No, but besides that, he wouldn't work. What would happen? Just like right now, they're having a strike at the airport. Right?
Yes.
You've heard about that?
You will be affected.
I'll be affected. I have to get there earlier, like 2 hours earlier.
Why?
Next Monday. Because they're not paying them enough. So there's no love there. These people at the airport, the customs officials and everything like that, they're not thinking, I love my country so much. I want to serve my country, even if they don't pay me enough. They're not thinking that, are they?
Nope.
They're thinking, if my country doesn't pay me enough, I'm not serving them. So that's the material consciousness. And as a result, they're doing 4 hours a day of stopping work during the time when there's the most passengers going. Isn't it? So the lines will be kilometers long.
That's just dumb.
It's not dumb. That's the material world. That's the way you do things too.
That they should do it like when there's the least number of passengers.
No.
That doesn't make much of an effect.
That's not much. They want to get their money back. So that's why. So that's the material consciousness. You understand? But there's no unalloyed service. What does alloyed mean?
Tainted.
No. Tainted. Unalloyed means untainted. Just like if you have gold and it's called alloyed, an alloy of gold.
That means it's like mixed.
Mixed with what else?
Like
other metals.
Yeah. Unalloyed means not mixed.
So unalloyed gold is how many carats? You know what?
14.
No.
24.
Yes. And if you get a ring, and let's say you get a ring and it's 1 carat. What does that mean?
That's one carat.
1/24 gold, the rest is just like some plastic or metal, some other metal. So therefore, unalloyed love means there's only one desire.
To serve Krishna.
To please Krishna. Not just to serve Krishna, but to please the senses of Krishna. So the gopis are lusty to please the senses of Krishna. You understand? Whereas the lust we experience in this material world is that we're easy or eager to please our own senses. That's the difference. Whether it's a child in relationship with a parent, or a boyfriend and girlfriend, husband and wife, or a servant and a master, any of these relationships, or friends. It's always based on selfishness. Maybe it's subtle selfishness, but selfishness. Okay, you understand? So therefore, Radha and Krishna conjugal loving affairs is not possible for us to fully understand while we have this material body or a material consciousness. All right, yeah.
Maharaj, how can we obtain Srimati Radharani's mercy?
How do you think? What's your proposal?
Engage in devotional service.
Yeah, but serving the servant of Srimati Radharani. Gopi Bharata. Pada Kamala Dasa 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 Dasa. Serve the servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord who maintains the gopis in Vrindavan. In other words, serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. Because Srila Prabhupada is the dearmost servant of Srimati Radharani. And so we serve Srila Prabhupada serving his mission. Radharani is pleased with us. Otherwise, you simply go around Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, 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 Radhe. That's nice. That's not going to get you Radharani's blessing. But if you serve her servant, like Prabhupada said, if you love my dog, then I will love you. Just like, if I go up to Keshav and I say, what a nice person, then his father says, oh, what a nice sannyasi. But if I say, oh, Keshav, you're horrible, the father says, oh, it's a horrible sannyasi. So it's more effective. That's why politicians kiss babies. Do they do that here?
Yes.
They hold babies at least. Maybe don't kiss them. They hold babies because people love them then. But if they held adults, people wouldn't like them. It's like when you were young, I held little cases like that, right? And the parents said, how nice. But I never tried to hold your parents. And it wouldn't have made them very happy anyway. They would have thought, this guy is weird. So, anyway, so we please Radharani's devotees. It's by the pure devotees of Radharani, like Srimati, like Prabhupada. I mean, that's the best way. Mahatse Mohorvi Muktis. The best way to achieve Radharani's mercy. And by this Sankirtan. The process we follow in Krishna consciousness is by being immersed in the holy names, we realize our spiritual identity and get Radharani's pleasure by distributing Krishna consciousness. That's the best method, because that's serving Prabhupada, serving Radharani's greatest devotee. Okay, I think we have to end now, right?
No.
You have to go to work. Anyway, no work today, or?
I'm going to.
In a dhoti, you're going to work?
No, I'm going to go home and change it.
Okay, anyway, we'll see everybody tonight. The children going to the temple tonight? Or? Should be pretty crowded, right?
Yes.
That's what asked me. But anyway, we're going to be giving class, and then after that, there's going to be an Abhishek. What's an Abhishek?
When people put liquids on the DVD.
Why do they do that?